Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The second scripture, the prescribed reading for the first Sunday in Advent this year, is pointing toward the return of Jesus, as will many of the Advent scriptures. We get kind of hooked up in getting ready for Christmas, but this Advent is a much bigger than that. So hear the words of Mark from the 13th chapter. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. Amen. So we keep talking about Advent as a time of waiting. Well, I don't know. I look around and, I mean, it doesn't look like people are waiting. It looks like people are going crazy with getting ready. And doing stuff, you know, that's, the tea was beautiful, but, you know, it didn't seem much like waiting, did it? Well, except waiting table, but that was a different thing. But it is a time of waiting, because Christ is here in three ways. Christ came as a child, born as per the Christmas story in Bethlehem of Judea. Christ comes into us now, hopefully all the time, at least once in a while. But Christ is available and comes into our hearts as we will be open to his presence. And then the promises that Christ will come again. Apropos of the scripture we've read, and you know, for another passage from Matthew, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man in his kingdom." And of course, the urgency that he put into that became a real problem. We've talked about this a couple weeks ago. It became a real problem in later days because people started dying, and the other folks thought that they were going to miss out. All right, and so then there had to be some interpretation and some further understanding, and Paul, that beautiful thing, and the trump will sound and the dead will be raised, probably was in reaction to that concern, to that worry, that the people who had died would not know Jesus. when he came. So Christ promises to come to us and has come and promises to come in many ways. I saw a cartoon a couple of weeks ago, and it was a picture of a church, and inside the church with the whole congregation was up against the back doors, holding. And on the outside was Jesus. And the caption was, "If we let him in, he'll want to change everything." And that's sometimes thought of as bad news, but I think it's good news. So, and it certainly is true. So I picked what would Jesus say. I was looking, of course, for something catchy. You know, he tried to do that. Some time ago, I did a supply gig here and mentioned what would Jesus do. And the next week, one of the bracelets popped up for me. So I don't think you can get a what would Jesus say bracelet. So I guess I'm safe. But so Jesus came and he saw many things going on. He saw the poor being further marginalized. He saw people of who were different being excluded. He saw the religious leaders kind of lording it over, in his words, the rest of the people. And he said many things, and they're all right there in that book in front of you. Well, not all of them. As John said, there are many more things that we could have written about Jesus, but they wouldn't fit in this book. So he said many things, and yet we get stuck at the birth a lot of times, especially at this time of year. Not so the New Testament. It's interesting, we mentioned this in Bible study on Tuesday. You know, they make such a big deal of the birth. The birth really isn't mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament, except just Matthew and Luke. These are the stuff that we read and we're pretty familiar with. So I guess the hint there is not to get stuck on the birth. The way I put it some years ago is that we have to be, when we go to the stable, we have to look through the window and see what's going on the other side. And that's as much what Christ, or more what Christ has called us to, than coming to the stable itself. What would Jesus say? Well, he didn't say it, but in Luke, I think that a very important kind of image of what he might have said if he had said something as an infant is in Mary's prayer, the Magnificat. You know, it's a vision of a world turned upside down. And that's basically what Jesus wanted to do because of what the world was like then. And, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So what would he say? He would say that he had come to save the world and to turn things around. Second, he comes. He comes into our world today, personally, collectively, and worldly, in a wider sense. And what does he see? I think he sees a level of self-interest that has grown beyond proportion. It didn't start there, but I remember 1980, the presidential slogan was, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" And so that idea of our individual progression seems to have caught real hold in our society, and he would see that. We see people building wealth at the expense of those who are in need. The quest for wealth building and maintenance is really embedded in a lot of what goes on, a lot of what we see in the paper, a lot of what we see on TV. He would see people who have abused power over the years, many of them now being exposed for the first time. mostly men, because men are the ones that have had the power. And he would see people trying to backpedal and soften and justify that, even blaming the victim in some cases. Many would say that taking care of the poor and the destitute and seeing to the needs of people is a church responsibility. I've heard that. But the church, the magnitude of the issues is such that the church really can't do it. Those that would want to do it, many of them are struggling for their own existence and have to spend a lot of their time working on themselves and maintaining and building. And other churches that we read about in the newspaper have completely bought into what's going on. And that's a shame too. And Jesus would see that. And what would Jesus say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And by neighbor, he doesn't mean just the folks next door or the folks in your church or the folks in Southbury or even in the U.S. He means everyone. He means everyone. And he will come. And what he will see when he comes depends, at least partly, on us. Right? It depends on all of the us's around. You know, their one vision of Jesus' return is that everything just goes to hell, to pot. And he comes in and straightens it all out. In the more mainline traditional church, we more look that it's our job to build the kingdom. And then Jesus will come and rule it. All right? So it's a matter of pie in the sky or... let's work on it now. And that difference is depending on how those things work out, how that dichotomy works out, and how those who believe that it's our job to further the kingdom, how that works, how we do that. That's what's going to make happen what Jesus sees when he comes back. What would Jesus say? Well, I have a suggestion in something that he already said. Oh, there it is. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous, the folks that I guess I aspire to be, and hopefully you do, will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? We didn't see you. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me. What would Jesus say? We'll assume that positive outcome. He would say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'd like to close with a prayer. That's a blessing that I actually have used before, but it seemed to fit again here today. pages. It's called The Uncomfortable Blessing. May the Spirit bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you will live deep in your heart. May the Spirit bless you with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people and the earth, so that you will work for justice and peace. May the Spirit bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer, so that you will reach out your hand to comfort them. And may the Spirit bless you with foolishness to think that you can make a difference in the world, so that you will do all the things which others say cannot be done. Amen.